This episode is sponsored by Down to Earth Iced Teas. Our functional super teas are made from organic super herbs and adaptogens and contain no sugar, no preservatives, no food colorings, and range from only 0 to 10 calories per bottle. Our beverages are USDA organic, kosher, vegan, non-GMO, and keto and paleo friendly. Finally, bottled beverages that you can truly trust. Check out drinkdowntoearth.com and use promo code podcast10 for 10% off your first order. Welcome back to the Down to Earth podcast. Fitness is a pivotal aspect of living a healthy lifestyle. While we're all living in a more fitness-focused society, there's often a lot of confusion as to which workouts to focus on and how to stay consistent to a workout plan that allows us to feel good all while attaining our fitness goals. In this episode, we are joined by Mary Kate, the founder of our fitness platform, Movement by MK. Mary Kate is a former Division I athlete who struggled with depression, yo-yo dieting, and sticking to a consistent workout plan that allowed her to feel her best. Her challenges fueled her to search deeper for a lifestyle that would allow her to overcome her challenges and live a healthier life. She eventually found that the right forms of movement, nutrition, and mindset allowed her to overcome her challenges and flourish in all aspects of her life. She's going to share all of her secrets with us today. Here we go.
Welcome to the Down to Earth podcast.
We're your hosts, sibling duo, Jonathan and Lorena.
In this podcast, we'll be spilling the tea on all things health and wellness related.
This podcast is designed to motivate you to take care of your physical, mental, and spiritual health.
We'll be bringing on doctors, healers, fitness experts, business leaders, and innovators.
Thanks for joining us in our mission of making the world a healthier, happier, and a more down-to-earth place. Here we go.
Hey, Mary Kate, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
We're both doing great as well. We're really looking forward to chatting with you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Thanks so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. Well, I'd love to start off by learning a little bit more about your story and what ultimately led you to pursuing a career in fitness and following this really healthy, clean lifestyle.
Yeah. So I'm somebody who always struggled with my weight, even going back to when I was like 14 years old. I was just always like a taller, bigger girl. I was like 5'9" in like eighth grade. And so like I said, I've really struggled with my weight my whole life. And it was when I went into like high school that I finally started eating healthier and being more active. And I actually ended up losing like 45 pounds. And that was kind of where it all began. And at that point, like I said, I just started living a healthier lifestyle. But then, of course, I went into college, and I'm sure you guys can relate, but I kind of gave up my healthy lifestyle at that point. And that's when I just really struggled with things like yo-yo dieting and binge eating. And it wasn't until that I moved out to Scottsdale, Arizona, when I was like in my early 20s, that I really decided I had to like ditch that type of lifestyle and really kind of just go all in and have like a more balanced, realistic approach. So once I discovered that I could actually like do it in a balanced way, I became just more realistic with it. And it kind of just became a lifestyle, which led me to fitness, I guess, if that makes sense. So it's been a journey for sure. But over the years, I've just discovered that I feel my best when I'm moving my body, and I feel my best when I'm fueling my body in a way that is realistic for me.
And I think yo-yo dieting is something that a lot of people struggle with, especially females. I think a lot of people have an all or nothing mindset, which can lead to that yo-yo of that like starvation and then the binging cycle.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I was at. Like I said, it started at a really young age. So like when I was 14, the first diet I ever went on, which is crazy to say, you're like 14 and dieting, but it was just very dry. It was very like chicken, vegetables, rice. And I just really created this negative relationship with food where I thought like I could only eat certain foods in order to see results. And of course it worked for me, but it just wasn't sustainable. So now I have just a more balanced approach, which I love because now I can eat foods that I enjoy without feeling guilty or like having to start again on Monday.
Now, how do you overcome, because I'm sure that didn't happen overnight, where, you know, you've been dieting since you're 14 years old, kind of going all in, restricting all these foods, then to moving to Arizona and kind of adapting more of a balanced approach. How were you able to overcome that yo-yo dieting cycle?
I think it was like a struggle for sure. I think, like I said, when I moved to Arizona, I just promised myself, I was like, okay, you have to do something that can actually be a lifestyle, meaning that you could do it for longer than, you know, getting fit for your next birthday or the next event or wedding that you have. Like, this has to be something that you can incorporate into your daily life. And so I made the shift by just starting to like shop the perimeter of the grocery store and incorporating foods of all different kinds that I really enjoyed, and not like not cutting anything out. Cause I felt like in the past it was like all or nothing. Like I was like, okay, no chocolate, no ice cream, no, I love sweets, obviously. but it was like all labeling foods good and bad. And it wasn't until like I allowed myself to just enjoy things in moderation that I truly stopped dieting. And once I learned to do that, which again just took a lot of practice, then it just unfolded into a lifestyle where like the guilt went away and the starting tomorrow went away. And yeah, it was just more attainable over time.
To your point, I think that when you restrict a food, you almost become like obsessed with that food, even if you may not like it, just because you have that mindset of like, oh no, I can't have it. It's a restricted food.
Yeah. Like it was crazy. And I'm sure there's like people who listening can relate, but yeah, the moment I said I couldn't have something, I like wanted it. I was like, oh, I can't have chocolate. Well, now I'm like craving every piece of chocolate or candy that you can name. Versus now I like eat dark chocolate every day. So I don't ever even like think about if I want it or not. It's just kind of like a part of my day.
Yeah. And I also think what you were talking about earlier in terms of trying to lose weight for a party or whatever, I feel like there needs to be a bigger why if you really want to transform it into like a lifestyle change, as opposed to just going on a quick diet, lose 10 pounds for this event, and then kind of go back to your old ways.
Yeah, it was just exhausting, to be honest. I was putting so much pressure on myself all the time to just get the fastest results with the least amount of work. And I just always had to restart. And once you're more realistic about it, you don't have to restart every single day or every single Monday. And it just becomes so much more attainable.
Definitely. Now, when you take a more lifestyle approach to anything, which is the right way to do it, and in my opinion, that's how we live our lives as well, it takes longer to see results. And it isn't even just about the results. It's about just the lifestyle, feeling good, being healthy. But for a lot of people, it could be difficult to have that patience and perseverance when things aren't changing right away. So do you have any tips for just ways to stay patient and trust the process, even if it is taking longer than expected following this type of approach?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, like the biggest pivot I made in terms of making it a lifestyle is, of course, like I had to be patient, and that's very hard. But I think for the first time ever, I stopped focusing so much on the scale and I started to focus really on how I felt. So each and every day. And at that point, to be honest, in my early 20s, I was really struggling with a lot of depression and anxiety. And I discovered that movement really was making me feel better. So instead of focusing on, like I said, the scale, I just focused on just moving my body in a way that felt good. And then that kind of just made me happier and made me focus less on like the aesthetic piece of everything. And then second point, I started taking progress pictures as well, instead of focusing, same thing on the scale. And it was really, really hard to take that first progress photo, because obviously anybody that's starting a fitness journey, maybe you're not happy per se with where you're at and you want to make changes. But once I could see my results and I saw myself getting a little bit stronger and more toned and things like that, it became more motivating. And again, I wasn't really fixated on the aesthetics, but that was just like another thing that I did that really helped me, because before I was just focusing so much on the number. So once I saw those changes, it just became more motivating, I guess.
No, that makes total sense. And I think that's actually a really good idea. I think a lot of times you might have these goals in mind, but you're not even like looking at yourself or really recognizing the progress you're making. So if you're journaling it and actually keeping track of it, it makes it a lot more tangible and real, seeing it in like the physical sense.
Yeah, I think for so long I was just fixated on being like, I have to weigh this amount, or I have to be a size 2 or a size 4, or but it was became so much more than that. I was like, well, I want to lift heavier. I want to be able to run longer. I want to be able to climb the stairs without being out of breath, or it just became about being healthier and happier.
And I think you also actually end up enjoying the workouts that you're doing, as opposed to like, okay, I need to run 7 miles so I burn this amount of calories and lose weight, versus like, I want to lift weight so I feel stronger. I think just like the motivating factor for the physical activity changes.
Yeah, 100%. I remember I was just always like, I see skinny girls doing this type of workout, so I'm going to do that type of workout. And then I hated that style of training. So then I like, it was like a chore. But then I really found like workouts that I loved and I enjoyed. And again, it just became something that I actually wanted to do, versus like, I felt like I had to do to burn calories or be a certain size.
Yeah. And I think a really positive thing, I mean, I think the last like 5-10 years, fitness has really exploded. Mm-hmm. And it's become a lot more mainstream. And I think one of the really positive changes about that is that a lot of people's goals prior to that might have been like weight related or just aesthetic related, but now it's become a lot more performance and health related. Mm-hmm. So you see, even like a lot of women used to be afraid to lift heavy weights, and now that's shifted. And I think it's great that now it really is more so focused on functionality and health and wellness rather than just aesthetics or numbers, which is a really positive thing.
Yeah, no, I love that. And like I said, I'm just a firm believer, like movement is medicine and it's like my form of therapy. So
same.
It helps me so much.
Yeah,
it saved me during that. COVID, during quarantine, when you're like stuck at home, everyone's a little bit more anxious, a little bit more depressed. I think moving was like, especially like streaming workouts, or if you were able to get outside to go outside, I think that really helped a lot of people.
Yeah, no, totally. I like think about, I don't know what I would have done during that time without fitness or like any form of just walks. Like I truly needed it.
Yeah. Same here. Now, I think obviously it's super, super positive that the fitness industry has exploded and it's become more mainstream, and people who maybe didn't focus as much on working out years prior or have turned that into a really big part of their daily lifestyle now. I also think with that, though, there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of confusion. People sometimes, with so many options out there, have trouble really finding the workouts that are best for them. So I'd love to sort of do a deep dive and sort of get a take on your views on fitness, and where a really good place to start is for people who are maybe just embarking on their fitness journey.
I think for me in years past, like first off, I was a Division I athlete. So like I was always told what workouts to do and how to do them. And I always had a trainer. And then once I gave up my athletic scholarship, that's when I really became lost in the gym. I was like, oh, I don't know how to do this without like somebody guiding me through it. And I always would just like kind of walk in there and like look around. And I was so intimidated because I didn't have a plan. So I think it's just really important to find a plan, find a program, and have something that's like really laid out for you with a trainer that you can trust and that you relate to and that you have confidence in them to help you through it, whether it's in person or virtual. Because when I, in my early 20s, moved to Scottsdale, I started the Sweat program. It was called BBG at the time. I'm sure you guys are aware of it. But it was laid out for me each and every week and each and every day. I knew exactly what I was going to do. And then like I walked into the gym and I'm like, okay, I'm doing week 2 legs. It's going to take me this long. This is the equipment I need. And like, I just felt prepared. And like anything in your life, if you don't prepare, you're not going to be ready for it. And I think fitness is the same. And like I said, I think it's really important to find something that aligns with where you're at in your journey, and find, if you're a beginner, find something that, you know, you can ease your way into and slowly build on that each and every day. And then maybe if you're somewhat advanced, you find like a more advanced program. But I just know that there's so many good trusted programs and trainers out there. And I really think you need a plan when it comes to fitness. And I don't think, you know, you can just throw things at the wall and expect it to work out. You kind of have to like go in so you have something to follow.
Yeah, I did BBG back in the day as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obsessed with her. I love everything she stands for. And obviously her programs work and have empowered so many women, myself included, even to go on and create their own program. So yeah, it's pretty wild what unfolded there, but I'm so happy I did it.
Yeah, And I think what's great about having a program or having some sort of trainer, I think that really helps keep you accountable. And not to say accountable like it should be a chore, but I think it's so easy to feel motivated. Like we said, like starting on Monday, I'm going to hit the gym, eat health, whatever. And then it's really hard to stay disciplined. So, you know, you might be motivated on like the first 2 days and then you're not seeing automatic results and you kind of like fall back into old patterns. So I think just having that program or something that keeps you accountable, I think can really help you stay disciplined and stay the course and make it more of a lifestyle.
Yeah. And I think it's fun. Like once you find a program, I think it's good because like, for instance, I always did BBG with my sisters and I'd be like, okay, I already did leg day today. Did you do it yet? And they would be like, okay, fine. I'm going to go now. And I know even this past weekend, I was with some girls who are visiting Scottsdale that do my programs and they do the program together. Mm-hmm. So they're the same way. They'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm terrified to do arm day, but it feels so good after. Mm-hmm. And just having like a buddy system is so helpful too.
Yeah. And I think what's great about your online programs too, is you've created a really great community around that.
Yeah. And I think that is so important. And honestly, it's the number one thing. It's what gets me out of bed every single day is I love that, you know, we have a group of like-minded women who are looking for the same thing. And I said, they struggled with the same things I was struggling with once upon a time, like lack of motivation, yo-yo dieting, feeling like they didn't know what to do in the gym or they didn't have the confidence to lift weights. And it's so reassuring to hear other people in the same room being like, wait, that's me. I totally relate to that. And they just know that they're not alone and that there's somebody else by their side.
Definitely. And I think that can go a really, really long way. Now, we spoke about BBG and they obviously have a really huge community. And I think for a lot of people who want to take their business online or kind of create a community around it, it could be a little bit scary thinking that it's already been done, but you were able to do that in a really efficient way. So I'm curious how you were able to create such a strong online community.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all about being authentic. You know, obviously these days it is really hard to differentiate yourself if you're just putting up the same carousel workout with the same font. And, you know, and I definitely get caught up in doing that where I'm like, well, so-and-so is doing it the same way, but it comes back to like your story. If you tell your story openly and honestly, somebody out there is going to listen. And like I said, somebody out there is going to be like, wow, is she talking to me? That is like, I've experienced that same thing. And I obviously had, like, I was very open about being 175 pounds and then being 120 pounds, eating chicken and rice to eating literally every ice cream bar I could get my hands on, or not being able to get out of bed in the morning because I was so depressed and really not even being able to take a shower. Like, people related to that because they were like, wait, I've been there. So I think it all starts with your story. And then obviously you have to have the courage to, one, tell your story, but two, transition and pivot and think, take a step back, being like, you have to be confident in yourself to know that you have the ability to also scale and like help a lot of people, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I really like that you spoke about authenticity, because I think that especially nowadays, consumers and people in general are really smart and they'll understand if someone's being inauthentic. And I think with creating anything, the intention behind it is super important. And I think just being really transparent and honest and having the right reason for starting something really goes a long way.
Yeah. And I think it's just, I'm so lucky that mine started organically and that people, it's not like I woke up one day and was like, you know what, I'm going to start a fitness business today. Mm-hmm. I was passionate about it. I, like I said, firsthand, it completely transitioned my life and helped my life. So that's why I think people relate to it, because they're like, she started where we're at. Like, she understands it.
Exactly. And I'd actually love to learn a little bit more about the story of how you started the business and also what types of workouts you mainly focus on.
So I was about maybe 3 years into my journey with BBG and I was working in medical device sales. I worked for two big companies, Stryker and Abbott. And in one of my roles, I was traveling a lot on the road. So I had a lot of time by myself and I was on a plane one day and I was just getting like hundreds of messages, like after each other. And I text my boyfriend and I was like, John, I get like so many messages about women that need help. And I was like, I really want to create something where like, I can help these people that like, is actually going to like change their life. And he was like, okay, like whatever you think. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to create my own workout guide. And so I went and I got NASM certified, and then I put a feeler out on my story saying that, hi, like, I'm going to create this 12-week guide. Would anybody be interested? And that day, like, I was flooded with hundreds of messages. So I took the time, I read all the messages, and then I picked four different women of like completely different backgrounds, like different ages and different careers, different points in their life, different struggles. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to work with these girls for free for 12 weeks. We're going to do weekly calls. Long story short, the program gave amazing results for all four women, which then gave me the confidence to be like, okay, I'm going to open this up to the world. So on May 8th of 2018 is when I launched my first ebook. And it was a 12-week program focusing on weightlifting with cardio bursts in between. And we had thousands of women download it within the year. It was just wild. And then, of course, I was still working in medical devices for 3 years. I didn't quit my job until April of this year. So that's when I kind of took things full time with COVID. My business obviously really exploded there, and I know it wasn't a good time for everybody. So I'm very lucky, and I'm grateful and I'm blessed to have had the opportunity. But yeah, so I mean, it's crazy to see where it started, and even with the pandemic, how much it's evolved since then, because with the pandemic, we only had one class and it was just a HIIT class. Which, looking back to the start of it, to do a HIIT class every single day is pretty wild. So since then, we've created a low impact style of training. And then we also have more like weight focused classes, which are called Empower. So it's been a fun ride. And like I said, I'm extremely grateful.
I love that. And something that really resonated from your story in starting the business is that in the beginning, you had that 12-week program where you invited these participants to do it for free. I think mm-hmm. that the best businesses and programs and products are built around actual passion and not just for financial reasons.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that you took the time to really test the program and like evolve it based on people's responses mm-hmm. is really pivotal and important in terms of building the business, rather than just focusing on profit from day one and not really testing it out and making sure that it's something that works for different types of people.
Yeah, I think that's something I really pride myself on. And I think just being in medical device sales for 7 years is something I learned, is you have to listen. And then once you listen, you kind of can pivot and take people's feedback and evolve things. And that's really what I do in my business, is I listen. If the girls, and of course, you're not going to be able to please everybody, and I'm very forward about that. But if people have feedback, I like to take their feedback and then I change and I tweak things based on that and make sure that it's attainable for everybody.
And that also going along with sharing your story and starting the business and kind of offering it for free for people, I think it's important that you kind of set your ego aside and you show that vulnerability, because I think a lot of the time you'll see people on social media that are showing off and show all the success, but don't show how they got there, which makes them extremely unrelatable. Like, yeah, they may seem successful, but you don't know how many people are actually resonating with their story.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. You just gotta remember, like, everyone has a day one. And I even tell girls, like today, like for instance, I went to record a video. I thought I was doing the workout for 30 minutes and I thought it was recording the whole time, and it wasn't. And it's like, okay, that sucks. Like, nothing's perfect. And I make mistakes every single day, and I'm evolving too, even as, you know, I am a full-blown business now, but there's hiccups along the way, even when you are still like pretty established, you know? So nothing's perfect by any means. And there's always behind the scenes going on.
100%. I always tell people that as well, because in our business, you really just see the end result and you see the product on the shelf, but there's a lot of behind the scenes, there's a lot of challenges, and you just have to work through them.
Yeah, exactly. And then you look back and you're like, how did we do that?
I know. Sometimes you're amazed that you were able to get through something, right?
Yeah, always.
For sure. Now, when it comes to working out and training, like I said before, there's so much confusion, but I think something that I hear really commonly from a lot of like female friends of mine is this misconception about weight training. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are still under the impression that lifting heavy weights will lead to bulkiness and that you won't necessarily build lean, long muscles through weight training, which I think has been a big discussion in the fitness community. But what's your take on lifting heavy? And how do you recommend that somebody sort of incrementally increases the weights that they train with?
I'm definitely team weights over cardio. And obviously I've evolved as a person in the gym. I used to be that girl on the Stairmaster for 60 minutes thinking like, I have to do this. Otherwise I'm not going to lose weight or get skinny or get toned or whatever. But I'm such a firm believer in weightlifting, not only to transform your body, but also your mind. I think it really instills a sense of confidence in a woman that like nobody else can give her except her. Like there's no better feeling than walking into the room and just being like, you know what? I'm going to own this. Like I'm not nervous. I'm not timid. I'm not intimidated. And I think like anything in your life, you just have to start. But again, you know, form is important. So I think finding a program that can teach you how to properly lift weights and where to start, like you don't want to walk in and pick up a 50-pound dumbbell and throw out your back. So I think you need to be smart with it and make sure just like take it one step at a time and slowly increase your weights over time. And I think that's what people forget is it does take time and patience, like we talked about before, but I don't think it will make you bulky. I think you have to eat an obscene amount of food in order to get any sense of bulk from like a woman's standpoint. I mean, and just human, like people in general, but yeah. So I think, you know, don't knock it until you try it and you won't know until you try.
And also if you think about it, you're building muscle. So you're changing your entire body composition. There go kind of boosting your metabolism as well.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the biggest shift in my body when I started incorporating weights and it's pretty wild, but it took time. And like I said, I followed the program to do so. And now I love weights. I couldn't imagine not doing that, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Now we did speak a little bit about failure and hiccups along your journey. And I do want to speak on just rejection and failure in general. A lot of people kind of look at failure as the end all be all, but I don't think you think that's the case. And I definitely don't. So I'd love to just touch on that a little bit and the importance of perseverance.
Yeah. It's so interesting that you say that because one of my posts that did the best in like this year was about rejection and failure. And I am like the queen of failure and rejection, to be honest. Like, but I always persevere. So twofold. I like as even like back to, you know, high school, like I didn't get into my dream high school. I'm from Chicago and like everyone wants to go to St. Ignatius and I didn't get into that high school. And then like I went on to college and, you know, I got a Division I scholarship, but I didn't play at like a Big Ten school. And like I talked about in that post, like, you know, getting broken up with different guys, like, and even when I went into my medical device career, I got told no 5 times before I was offered a job. And then when I was offered the job, they're like, hey, we actually need to move you across the country. And so I think in order to be successful, you have to fail. And I think when some people do fail, they kind of like crawl into a ball and they're like, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to try again. But I really do think you have to get back up again because the more you try, like something is going to stick. And especially when it comes to really anything like in this life, like you're going to get told no, people aren't going to like you. And that's fine. Like you just keep going. And then I'm just like a big believer in karma. And like what I believe in is just hard work. If you keep working hard, opportunities are going to present themselves, I guess. And yeah, I just, I'm very, very open and transparent about how many times I've failed and how it's like led me to a better path.
And it's actually interesting. It reminds me of a guest that we had on a couple of months ago, and he's a health coach. And I remember him saying, he was like, I try to get a no. For example, he said, like, I'll go to a supermarket and ask for a discount, or like he'll try to hear no's from people just so that he programs himself for that like inevitable, I guess, like quote unquote failure, but not really. Cause I think so many people are so afraid to even fail that they don't even try.
Yeah. And I think, you know, obviously when you're starting to in this life and you're like on camera and like you want everything to be perfect, and it's hilarious to look back, one, where my business was, you know, 3 years ago, two, in COVID, like my the background of my videos, like the room would be a mess. My Christmas tree was like falling over, but like nobody cared. Like people, as long as you just put yourself out there. And like I said, you're honest, you're authentic, you work hard. People are going to love you and like, they're going to relate to you and they're going to want to see more of you. And I think people just really get fixated on it being perfect or like getting fixated on, well, what if I fail? And it's like, who cares if you do, you get right back up.
100%. And you even see that in the gym a lot where like you could tell that somebody's holding back from maybe lifting heavier or trying a new move if a lot of people are around because they're scared of being judged, when in reality, you really just have to focus on yourself and on things that are going to benefit your life and stop thinking about other people's opinions.
Yeah. And honestly, like people are so selfish. Like nobody's really ever thinking about you.
Exactly. You know,
everyone's so fixated on themselves.
100%. 100%. Now I have a question for you. I know you said that you're more of a fan of strength training, which I am as well, but for people who do still try to get their cardio in, how do you avoid not maximizing your strength gains while still doing cardio? Because obviously if you're doing too much cardio and trying to put on some muscle, it could interfere. So what tips do you have for people that are trying to get a good balance of both?
Yeah, I definitely do see that sometimes a lot with my community is, you know, these girls are so used to running and there's nothing wrong with running. Like I said, movement is movement and you have to find what's best for you. But sometimes I see a lot of people overtraining. So, and then therefore they're like, well, I'm not getting any muscle. And I'm like, well, you're not giving your body rest or any time to recover and actually build that muscle. So I think, you know, it's a balance like anything in life. I'm like a big fan of, you know, getting in 20 to 30 minutes of weights and then maybe like a long walk or 20 minutes of cardio max. I think a lot of people think you have to be in the gym for an hour or get an hour workout for it to be effective. And I really don't think that's the case, but I do love like the Stairmaster and I do love like walks. So I try to, if I do incorporate it in tandem with the weights, it's usually just like 3 days of like 20 minute cardio max and making sure that I'm still lifting and eating the appropriate amount of protein and everything to supplement that. So I don't think you have to be 90% weights. You know, I think there's more wiggle room for cardio if you want that.
I know a lot of people, you know, even myself, sometimes I have trouble taking a rest day because I don't only work out for the aesthetic. I actually feel really good from working out.
Yes.
And on days when I take off, I'm a little bit more sluggish, less energy. I don't feel my best. So it makes it a little bit harder to take a rest day, but obviously physiologically it is important. So what's your take on a rest day? You know, how many days off a week or how often should we be trying to take a rest day for our bodies to recover?
I totally agree with you on that. And I feel the same way because like I said, it's my form of therapy. I'm like, if I don't move, I just like feel like anxious, but that's fine. I think you need to give yourself grace and like you do need to recognize your body does need a break. And I'm a big advocate for at least 2 to 3 rest days a week. And in my programming, that's what I always implement. So I think just again, recognize why your body is resting, recognize why you need to take the day off or take it a little bit slower, because in order to see the actual benefits or feel better in the gym or stronger, you're going to need time for those muscles to recover. So I think 2 to 3 days is typically good to rest.
And that doesn't mean you sit on your couch the whole day. You can still go for walks and play with your kids and be active, but not overexert yourself.
Exactly. It's not like you have to be a sloth.
Once in a while it feels nice though.
Yeah. I love a good day when it rains in Arizona, one day out of the year that I can. Yeah, I'm kidding.
I think this whole weekend is supposed to be raining actually.
Good.
Yeah.
No, I love it.
TV day.
Yes.
Now, obviously, exercise is incredibly important in living a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So is our nutrition. And I think that a lot of people that might train properly and focus a lot on their fitness don't necessarily fuel themselves the right way. So I'd love to get your take on nutrition as well as sort of timing of our meals. I know a lot of people in the fitness community say that you should try to get in certain macronutrients within a certain window of your workout. So is there any truth to that? How do you sort of view nutrition playing into living a fit and healthy lifestyle?
I personally, I'm like a huge fan of nutrition. And again, it's completely individualized. Everybody's going to be different. Everybody's bodies are different. Everyone likes different foods. And I'm somebody that I tend to eat, you know, the 80-20. I personally feel my best when I'm fueling my body with fruits and vegetables and lean proteins and things like that. But I also am somebody, like I said, I love sweet treats. Like everybody has their thing, you know, maybe yours is chips and salsa or chips and guac or big sandwich or something. But mine is like ice cream. I just love sweets. So I like to leave room for that because as we discussed before, I would feel too restrictive if I didn't. I will say I did see the biggest change in my physique when I did start focusing on nutrition more and those macronutrients, to your point. I'm always super transparent. I'm not a dietitian or nutritionist, but I'm a big firm believer in macros. And like I said, eating the right amount of protein to supplement your workouts and be able to actually build muscle. And then I love carbs. I think a lot of people are scared of carbs, but I follow a high carb approach with my nutrition just because I do love fruits and vegetables and sweet potatoes and quinoa and all that good stuff. And then you have to have a good mixture of healthy fats too. I think people are scared of fats, but again, it comes to like your energy and you're going to feel best if you're fueling your body well for your workouts. And a lot of people, I will say, give me shit, for lack of better words, for eating so healthy or so clean. But I feel my best when I eat that way because I'm not as sluggish or, you know, like I don't have like a spike in sugar and then drop. If you guys agree with that, I'm not sure if you feel the same way, but that's what you also have to have wiggle room, right? And be able to live your life.
I totally agree with you. And I think it takes a lot of unlearning, especially like you said, like people are scared of carbs or scared of fats. And I think it's things that we've been told by the diet industry for so many years. So I think it's really just kind of trying things out and seeing how you feel, and to the point of like, you know, people making you feel bad for eating a certain way. I think unfortunately it's like a reflection of what they feel that they may be not doing that makes them feel bad. So I do think that in terms of that, you need to explain to them, listen, I'm not preaching that you should be eating like this, but this is how I like to show up my best in the world. And I think just so be it.
Yeah. It's such an interesting topic and I could go on and on with that for a long time. Because like the psychology behind it is just very interesting to me. Even this past weekend, you know, we were on vacation and I happened to eat like a piece of dessert and somebody was like, oh, I can't believe you're eating dessert. Like, who are you? And it's like, I'm human. I'm able to eat dessert if I want to. But then you'll also, you know, people will be like, oh, you're ordering a salad. I can't believe that's all you're eating. And so it's like, you can never really win, right? So you kind of have to do what's just best for you and makes you feel your best. And at the end of the day, you have to own it because, you know, if you let that get the best of you, then you're just never going to be able to live.
100%. Yeah. And I don't even think you need to explain yourself unless if they're actually asking, like they're curious why you eat a certain way. But I think if someone's like, oh, you're all you're eating is a salad, and be like, yeah, that's all I want.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's a good answer.
And again, and even with like the dessert example, like you have to have thick skin because a lot of people in that situation maybe would then feel like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be having this, but you know what's best for you. You should be able to enjoy yourself. So you really have to just learn to stay in your lane and focus on yourself and not allow outside opinions to get the best of you. Because at the end of the day, you live in your own body. You know, no one's going to help you get healthy. It's all in your hands.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more.
Now, are you a fan of supplementation as well? Like, are there any supplements that you take for recovery or for just energy before workouts? What do you typically like to take?
Yeah, it's so funny. I had so much energy as a human. I never have taken pre-workout or anything. And I definitely see like a lot of influencers. I'm like, I think if I took pre-workout, like I would be like off the walls. So I have never really taken anything like that. I obviously, you know, use protein powder and protein bars, but that's really like the only added thing besides like anything I take for like gut health and things like that. But yeah, I don't know. Have you ever done pre-workout? I feel like would literally be crazy.
I haven't. You know, it's interesting. I typically have a lot of energy and I don't like the pre-workouts because it's so hard to find something with clean ingredients. What I typically do is I have like tea or just like a nice clean natural beverage. I have one of our teas and I just find that gives me the right boost of energy. A lot of times if you're tired, you're just not properly hydrated.
Yeah.
So if you just have like an uplifting beverage, typically that does it for me. And I think that a lot of times, like if you physically are just a very low energy person, it could be something you should look into further, like maybe run some tests. Because if you're constantly tired, it signifies that something might be off. So just masking it with something like a pre-workout isn't going to help you in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I've just like always, you know, you always see things on YouTube and Instagram of people like slamming their pre-workout. And I'm like, I have one cup of coffee and I'm Gucci and ready.
Yeah. Same here. It doesn't take much to get us going, right?
Yeah.
I also think even if you're a little bit tired right before your workout, within 5 minutes of working out, you have the energy, the endorphins are running, and I feel like you stay pretty energized, or at least that's the case for me.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's so funny whenever, because I get up at 4 a.m. to do our workouts because I have mostly East Coasters. Mm-hmm. So I'm always like, okay, give yourself 5 minutes and you'll be right into it.
That first drip of sweat and you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, for someone who's counting their macros and doing all the things and they have like a slip up, I think it can be really hard to kind of get back to things or not be so hard on yourself. So what advice would you give them?
I think it's just all about progress, not perfection. And I think once you establish that in your journey, things just become so much easier. Because I was somebody like, I would put so much pressure on myself, like I said, to only eat a certain way or follow a super specific meal plan. And then I would just go crazy because I was so deprived. So I think you are going to slip up. Nobody's perfect. And there is going to be, you know, you got to leave room for error. And it's not even error. It's just being human and living. So I think it's just all about the progress, not perfection mentality.
I agree with you on that. I think we all have to be a little kinder to ourselves. And I'm also, you know, a perfectionist and expect a lot from myself. But I think a lot of times we have to take care of other aspects of our wellness as well. I think a lot of times people just focus on the physical, but there's also the mental. And I think that the two are so closely tied together that we also have to make sure we're taking care of that side of things.
And I feel like I really preach balance. And of course, as much as like I follow a macro based approach for the most part, I'm somebody like, I'm not so fixated on the numbers. Like I don't obsess if I'm a couple carbs over a couple fats. I honestly can pretty much like eat intuitively because I've done it for so long. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're somebody that's really numbers driven, then it might not be for you just because it's not going to be perfect. And I think people get really hung up on the numbers with it when it really doesn't have to be about that. It's more so just like building your plate around a healthy carb, protein, and fat, and kind of lays the foundation.
I totally agree with you. And I think also people are overall, even with things opening up, spending more time at home than ever before. And it's not always easy to have that same motivation being at home. I personally like love working out from home. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I'm continuing to do, even though I could still go to the gym and I do go to the gym in person. I have some workouts that I still love doing from home, but there are a lot of people out there who, for whatever reason, can't find that same motivation or social aspect of working out from home. So what are some ways that you think people could sort of just stick to that at-home routine, but keep it fun and interesting and engaging?
I know. I think it's crazy because it's wild how much like time you have. I think at least I'm hearing from my community, like they love that they don't have to go to a gym anymore because their commute is so cut down, especially like in big cities like you, New York and Boston and LA. They're like, I was wasting so much time, like getting to the gym, then like going to the workout and then showering at the gym when it's super crowded. And it just added like another stressor.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing for me is the time. I save at least an hour to an hour and a half by working out at home.
That's wild. Yeah. So I think you kind of need to like think about what's important to you. If like time management is important and like you, that hour, hour and a half, you know, is like really extra in your day, then, you know, find an at-home program that works for you or like a trainer, like you said, that's fun and engaging and exciting. And it all comes back to like, what style do you like? And I'm just a big advocate on that. Like, I know my workouts aren't going to be for everybody and that's fine. But if you don't like my workouts, then like you could try another workout that might be better for you. But at the end of the day, you got to like doing the workout you're doing, because then it gives you something to look forward to. Like, I know a lot of the girls, like for instance, tomorrow we have our 30-minute burner and they're like, I cannot wait to wake up and crush Friday's 30-minute burner and then go on with my day. And, you know, of course you're not going to look forward to every single workout, but find something that you at least can get excited about. Right. and be like, it sets the tone for your day. So yeah, I think just like try different instructors and try different programs until you find one that sticks.
And I think, again, like you, you've created a community. So I think that makes it a little bit more exciting. Like I'm sure all the girls talk and like you said, they're excited for tomorrow's workout. And I think that makes it a little bit more fun and keeps the accountability there as well.
Yeah, because even if you're not in person, then like you at least have like I said, there's other people on the screen doing it and you don't have to like show yourself on camera, which although people have already gotten the confidence to do that now, you know, like I said, things have shifted. Mm-hmm. It's funny to see how people have transformed over the year where like before no camera on and now they do.
But I want to see people. I think, you know, when you don't have something, you start to appreciate it. And I think even just seeing a face, people are like, oh, that's actually nice to be able to somewhat communicate with others.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's been fun. And like I said, just finding what works for you is best.
Now tell us about the programs that you offer. And I know that you also have a retreat in October. I'm not sure if that's full mm-hmm. yet, but yeah. I'd love to hear more about it.
Yeah. So I'm so excited. And like I said, I'm just super blessed to have the opportunity to do what I love each and every single day. And I'm so grateful how everything has evolved. So the class offerings that I have something that, you know, can pretty much suit anybody regardless of your age. Like I have women who are 55 years old sweating with me down to like 18, you know, starting college and whatnot. But so that's why I try to like make sure I can fit somebody regardless of where they're at in their fitness journey. So I have the Empower class, which is a weight focused class. Lately, we used to put in cardio bursts, but the girls are like, Mare, I'm loving the weights. Like, let's make it more weight focused. So that's like really a weight focused class. And then we have a low impact class, which is absolutely no jumping, called Sculpt. And then, like I said, tomorrow, the fan favorite is the 30-minute burner. It is so fun. You guys, you should try it. Like you go in and you're done and dusted in 30 minutes. And you're like, did that just happen? Like it goes so fast. Everyone's obsessed. And then we have,
is it at 4 a.m. tomorrow?
It's at 5 a.m. if you're in Arizona.
Okay. Maybe I'll wake up and do it.
Yeah, but you get it done. Yeah. And then, yeah. So how I offer my classes though are through my mobile app, which is just Movement by MK. So you can download it on the App Store. And then if you're somebody that's like, I need the accountability to get up at 5 a.m., like my ass isn't going to do the on-demand, then you can take a live class with me, which also gives you 24-hour access to it. Because people love that 24-hour window. Like I have a lot of night nurses that do my workouts and they don't even do on-demand because they're like, I am overwhelmed with the library of workouts. There's somebody that like is like, I need the workout that MK did today that has a 24-hour window on it. So that's kind of like how I meet different people wherever they're at or how they're motivated, you know, because everybody's different. Like I love on demand, but I can see where it would be overwhelming. And I know that some people need like live accountability. And then to answer your question about the retreat, yes, I am hosting a retreat with 20 women and I have 4 more spots left. And it's going to be at Savannah Resort. So I know you're local. I'm not sure if you've ever been there. But it's gorgeous. And I
was there last year, actually. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. So it's amazing. Beautiful. And it's really just going to be about movement, community, and connection. After this year, I think so many people are craving that. And to your point that we discussed, I think a lot of people had alone time this year and really were able to evaluate, you know, what's important to me? What do I need right now? And it's crazy the shifts that people have made, right? So I think a lot of people, what's interesting, are coming alone. And I'm excited for that because that's a big step for somebody to be like, hi, I've taken this girl's workouts, but I've never met her in person. And I'm going to trust that she's going to provide me with an awesome like retreat, you know, and come by myself. So I'm really proud of everybody because I know that can be intimidating, but I promise it's going to be so fun.
Yeah, that sounds great. And people have definitely become a bit more spontaneous, which I think is a really positive thing.
Yeah. So it's a lot of good things are in the works, lots of projects. I feel like my life is one big project right now. But as you guys know, and we discussed, it's so fun to watch everything unfold. And you're like, wait, what? Like that we started that project last year.
I know.
Yeah.
It's great. It really is great. And it sounds like you obviously are doing so much amazing work. You know, you're building this wonderful business. You're helping so many people's lives. And you also live, you know, personally live a really healthy fulfilled lifestyle. So I'd love to know a little bit more about your routine. I know you wake up early. So how do you start your day? How do you like just sustain yourself throughout the day to keep this positive, productive mindset?
So I've always been an early bird. Like with my medical device job, I was always at the hospital by 6:15 a.m. So getting up early is like no problem for me and my dad. He just like ingrained that in us as children. So he was always out the door at like 4. So I just get up early. You know, I have to get up and have my coffee before my class. I like to set the tone for the day and really have at least 30 minutes to myself, like no interruption. I think that's so important. And I'm sure you guys can relate to that. Like you just need that time by yourself. And then I do my class. And then obviously, as you guys know, running a business, there's so many behind the scenes things. So I just make sure, like, teach my class. I have my second cup of coffee, which everyone knows I'm obsessed with. It's like the small things in life, right? And then I have like breakfast and I do all my computer work or filming, depending on the day of what I have to do. And honestly, just a lot of different calls throughout the day with brands and then, you know, different, just planning different projects, whether it's the merchandise or getting ready to ship things out. So yeah, it's been so fun. And throughout the day, I just make sure I'm always getting up and make sure I'm moving. Although I work out, you know, you got to have some like activity and not just be at your computer all day. And then we always just make dinner and go on a long walk at night. And I feel like a 60-year-old woman saying that. I'm like on the 4 p.m. dinner train because I get up so early and I'm like, okay, if I can wait till 5, that's like a big win.
Totally. I love that. Yeah. I mean, and it sounds like you're waking up at 4, but you're still, it's not like you're like rushing out the door. You're still doing all the things that you recognize will help keep you grounded for the rest of the day.
Yeah. And I think that's a big shift that I made like over the years is I used to just like run out the door and get to my 9 to 5 when I was like in my early 20s. And I didn't know why I was so miserable, but it was because I was just like rushing all the time and stressed and waiting for the bus and missing the bus and this and that. And like now I just really take my time and wake up a little bit earlier. And it just really makes a big difference in your life.
Absolutely. It really does. I don't wake up at 4, but I think, you know, just waking up early before the rest of the world can be really, really beneficial.
Oh, it's the best. I always said that even living in Chicago, I love just going outside when like no one else is there and just going on a quick walk before work. It's the best.
100%. Now, a question that we love to ask all of our guests is if you could have tea with anyone dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Oh, I love this. You'll laugh at me. I always say Kelsey Wells, who is a sweat trainer.
But I love her.
Yeah, I love her. And she's someone who like started where I was. She started BBG like a year or two before me. But we just have a very similar journey. And, you know, not only did she lose weight and like transform her body, but she has completely transformed her mind. And that is just so important to me. It is all about the mindset shift. And like, then the other things will come. And through her passion, you know, like she's really found her purpose in this life. And that's how I feel each and every day. I feel like people are like, oh, you're running a business. But I'm like, no, I'm running my purpose, if that makes sense. So yeah, I would choose her.
That's a great answer. And I 100% agree with you. I think the most important thing in life is to feel fulfilled. We spent majority of our time in life working or building something. So you might as well choose something that you love and figure out a way to make that your life.
Yeah. And my sister's 10 years older than me and always said that. And I never believed her. And here I am now. Now every day I'm like, okay, you were right.
Well, again, it's great that you found yourself and that what you're passionate about is also helping other people as a direct result. So it's a really, really great thing to see.
Yeah, it's been so fun. And I'm just excited. Each and every day is just a new opportunity to make it better. And it's been a blast.
That's awesome. Well, I'm so happy to hear that. Now, for anyone out there who's going to listen to this that wants to learn more about your work or potentially get in touch and train with you, where are the best places to reach you at?
They can follow my Instagram, which is just Movement by MK. Or you can email me at mk@movementbymk.com or download my app on the App Store, which is Movement by MK. So a lot of movement and a lot of MK.
Exactly. All great things. And we encourage that everyone check it out and get in touch with you. And I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We both gained a lot from chatting with you. And we're sure that your work is going to continue to help and evolve and really impact people's lives in a positive and healthy way.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been an honor to be on here, and I love sharing my story. And like I said, I hope it helps one person. And so thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us on our episode with Mary Kate from Movement by MK. This was such a great conversation about fitness, consistency, mindset, and being kinder to ourselves. Mary Kate's story proves that we can all overcome adversity, rejection, and challenges with our personal health, fitness, and build a better lifestyle and future for ourselves, all through finding the right balance in our daily routines. As always, if you have any questions, you can email us at podcast@drinkdowntoearth.com or get in touch with us on our Instagram at drinkdte. In the meantime, stay healthy and stay hydrated. Cheers.
Now it's time for you to go out there and do at least one small thing to better your health today.
Always choose to make your life a healthier, happier, and a more down-to-earth place.
Until next time.
Cheers to good health.